Hey, welcome into this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show presented by your Front Range Toyota stores on 104.3 The Fan, HD3, DenverPioneers.com, the Summit League Network. My name is Tyler Mon and thrilled to be joined on this week's episode of the show by the new head coach of Denver men's basketball, Tim Bergstrasser. Tim, it's so good to see you. We've gotten a chance to catch up a couple of times, but never in like the formal interview setting. You're going to be so sick of this by the end of the season, just talking to me about all of my minutia questions. You excited?
I am excited. It ain't going to bother me at all. It's kind of, believe it or not, it's kind of like therapy sometimes to get outside the court and talk a little bit.
That's so good. That's a good way to look at it.
I might be happy and I might not be happy here sometimes. It's just part of what we do.
Well, we're going to get to know you a lot, obviously, over the coming 6 months or so. But the introductory conversations, I feel like, are always so fun when we get the first conversation that you sort of get to have with Pioneers fans, which is kind of what this show is for, a season preview show. You're hired for this post about 5 months ago right now. We're recording this in late September, so we're still a little ways out in front of the start of the season. But take me through the first few months. How has this transition been?
It's been good. I mean, it all happened pretty fast, just, me getting the job. It came out of, I don't want to say it came out of nowhere because I was obviously keeping an eye on it, but it happened very fast, and then we had to hit the ground running and filling up a roster. Once everything was kind of cleared out, we had to bring in 11 guys, and, thankfully four of them followed from MSUM on top, Spencer Bland, my associate head coach. So after that, we had to go get seven new guys, which it's natural nowadays. You see that a lot more.
Yeah.
But I really like how we, I don't want to say we're scrapping to figure out a roster, because that's no disrespect to the guys we got. But when you're getting, the position when we did, I mean, the portal was dang near closed.
Yeah.
We had to dig deep to try to find guys that we really believe fit how we do things and would help us compete at the highest level we could. And so where we were at, I really like what we did. I mean, we got high-level human beings or high-character guys that really love basketball. They're really competitive. They're not perfect by any means, neither am I. But I've really liked how we're starting to – you've seen a growth. We're definitely coming along since that first summer workout, which has been new for me. I didn't know how to operate fully in it, so I just try to just do what we usually do and just showing up and try to find ways to grow. But I think we could use that as an advantage, just to try to get ahead of things as much as possible. But from day one to where we're at right now, I mean, I think we're really starting to get some pieces put together and figuring out who we are. And again, things change week by week.
Definitely.
But I definitely like where we're at. I like our guys. They're fun to coach. Yesterday wasn't great, but that's part of what we do. It's going to happen again.
You referred to MSUM, Minnesota State Moorhead, where you came from, your head coaching stop prior to Denver. Take us through sort of the coaching journey to get to that position. Obviously, the success you had there and then taking this gig. Take us back to, the dawn, the genesis of this basketball life.
Yeah, that's another thing that happened very fast. I mean, everybody always says as you get older, it just goes by super quick, and I see it. And I was so focused on just playing basketball. I wasn't a great student by any means, to be honest. So it's kind of funny. I'm a head coach of a high academic school, right? But you get humble pretty quick, and it was a blessing in disguise. I was a college athlete at St. Cloud State, blew my knee out three times. That transitioned me into coaching, and that's what really kind of just narrowed my focus on, like, all right, it's time to grow up. And I definitely, because I had no other choice. But that led me into AAU coaching. Then I was a student assistant at D2 level. That made me understand just how stinking hard it is to coach. And there's so much that goes into coaching. And then I went to a very small stipend at River Falls, Wisconsin. And again, all these guys that get into coach and they just think, they're going to go and get like a full big time salary. It's like, no, you're probably going to have to work. You're going to get your stipend.
That's how they are in broadcasting too, by the way.
Yeah, right. So, and that's any profession. Yeah, but so you get a small stipend and then you got to go work multiple jobs to make it work. But if, like, you really love this stuff, it's not really work to you. But at the River Falls, Wisconsin, I had a great opportunity to go be a GA at MSUM. I hit up like every single school in the nation to get a GA spot, and I didn't get any traction. And then I literally told my D3 head coach at the time, I was like, hey, I'm going to plan on returning. The next morning, I had the phone call to get that opportunity. So it's just crazy, again, how the Lord makes things, spin in your favor. We had great success when I was at MSUM. I mean, I was working under Chad Walthall. He'll be a Hall of Fame coach there. So I've just had a great coaching tree to be under. And then after my 2 years as GA, I went to Quincy, Illinois, and that was a quick stint. I was there for like 8-9 months, and then there's some stuff that I was spinning the assistant coach at MSUM, then got the head job at Duluth, Minnesota, which is in the league I'm coming from. I got the call to go back to MSUM. I was an assistant there for 3 years. Walthall decided he wanted to retire, so then I was able to step in at the head coaching role. And that's you know, selfishly, I was like, all right, let's just send some of the assistant. I should get the job, right? But, you know, they put me through the ringer, and I'm glad they did. I'm glad that they made me grow, and it was a great experience I've never had to experience, and it allowed me the opportunity to grow, just move forward into where I'm at now. Because, like, that interview process, I mean, if I would have went there without that, I mean, it could have been a train wreck, to be honest.
Right.
And maybe I wouldn't be here.
Right.
So, but the 3 years there as a head coach, man, it was – we had so many good players. My first year as a head coach, like, we didn't have a lot of guys leave.
Yeah.
We didn't have anybody leave. So I think that just showed how we did things there. So for me as a first-time head coach at the D2 level to get the roster we had, I mean, that's not likely. You don't see that a lot. So I don't overlook that. And I was very fortunate for that because players win games. I could get them organized and structured. I could, you know, sprinkle a little bit of motivation, but players win basketball games, especially if you got veteran guys. But my first year, we lost in the first round of the national tournament. We ran into a buzzsaw. The second year, we were number one in the nation. Lost in the second round to the national champions, Mankato. And then last year, we made it to the Sweet 16 in the national tournament. So I'm very fortunate because I do understand how stinking hard winning is. And some people don't ever get a chance to win a championship or even make a tournament. So that's, again, stuff I'll never overlook because I really understand how stinking hard it is.
It's 75 win total in 3 seasons in Moorhead, which is extremely impressive. 3 NCAA tournament appearances, you alluded to. And you bring over some of the talent that you had on that roster. You talk about the roster construction and the way it is in D1 nowadays. Coaching change sometimes involves an entire roster overhaul. You do have 3 holdovers from last season's roster, including Josh Lee, who made a bunch of starts for the Pioneers, has made a bunch of starts for the Pioneers over the last couple of years. Devin Carney, Locke Cunningham, who is, you know, Mr. Positivity and a guy that's great to have around regardless of the type of team that you're coaching. But tell us about the guys who you brought in. You brought some from MSUM, some others that you're familiar with. Tell us about what this roster looks like.
I hope I don't miss anybody so much. Right? Like, I should have brought a piece of paper, but you know, the MSUM guys are Carson, Logan, Sean, and Cody, or Corleone, that's what they call them, but we call them Cody. It just made it very more comfortable for me in my transition because they know how I operate.
Yeah.
You know, especially guys like Logan Kinsey. He'll be a senior for us this year. I mean, I recruited him since he's like a junior in high school. So he knows 100% how I do things. These other 3 guys, you know, they're first years of me. Now it'll be their second year with me. But it's nice when you got guys coming into a program. They understand the standards. They understand how hard it is to win, like I've already alluded to.
Yeah.
You know, Logan Kinsey, he's a do-it-all type of guy. He's one of those dudes, like, when you're coaching him, he's looking through your soul and he's doing exactly what you tell him to do, so you got to be careful sometimes. Carson Johnson, I mean, I think he's got that traction and that reputation of, you know, a high-level scorer. He has a unique story, you know, if anybody heard about it so far. But we pulled his redshirt midseason last year, and then he did some incredible things, averaging near 20 points a game.
Amazing.
First-ever freshman as a tournament championship MVP. Like, he's different.
Was redshirting until halfway through the season.
Correct.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and he took it and ran with it. And that's, again, he had a lot of guys that around him that just trusted him. But you don't see the stuff like that. And it's just when those lights turn on, like, he's different. And he's earned all that. Like, he puts all – and this is, like, all the guys that we bring in. They put so much time in this game. And we knew that class was so stinking important and because that was going to be the foundation to move forward.
Right.
But we're always trying to find just guys that are obsessed with basketball. They're great in the class, and they're 4.0 students, and they're just like elite competitors. That's a very hard combination to find right now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But for, you know, guys like Carson, Logan, then you got Sean Wysock. We were going to redshirt him last year, and then he had so much activity and energy and the long length, the athleticism, the mobility. It was hard not to play him. So for him to start as many games as he did last year, it just blew us away. Mm-hmm. And for him to have production as well. And then you got Cody Dandridge, too. He redshirted for us. I mean, he's waiting for his moment. I mean, he's so excited for this year because he's a 20-year-old freshman.
Yeah.
And he's a dang good freshman. And he has a very high ceiling. I think he has a really bright future here at DU. And I know people really like those guys just for how hard they play and how they play the right way. Now, when it comes to all the transfers, again, I got to try to – you know, it's –
You got
so,
Ian Mota.
Yeah. So Ian Mota. It is. Yeah. Trust. Hey, it's funny.
There.
Same thing.
We were talking
though.
About last names, and now I'm like hyper aware of screwing them up. Yeah. Ian Mota. We had a Mota on this team, same spelling, 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
Now we got a Mota.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's funny because even when we were recruiting him, I was saying Mota. And then, like, after, like, our 2 or 3 weeks into practice, he's like, Coach, you know it's Mota, right? And I was like,
I do now.
Gotcha now.
Now
so,
I do know.
And I still say Mota, but. Yeah, Iemoto, I mean, he played at Bucknell. He had the ACL injury. We're working on return to play right now. He's getting some reps. And, I mean, if you look at the stuff that he'd done in the past at Bucknell, I mean, he's a high-level basketball player. And if he's continuing to project to being healthy the way we think he's going to, man, he's definitely going to be a major contributor to what we do. He's a 6'7", you know, wing forward type guy, and he can shoot the leather out of the ball, man. He's one of those guys you can't help off him. And he's just one of those dudes as well. He's just wired differently. When it comes to competition, like he wants to win so stinking bad. So me being through my ACL stuff, him going through it, I'm just happy he's playing. You could just tell like he's just happy himself, and you want to see that out of a guy that's been through that. So very high ceiling with Ian. When you talk about, like, let's go with our fives, you got Didier, if you say it right. You try to take away the R.
Okay.
Just think of it. So okay. Didier, that's okay. It. It's French, I think.
Yes.
But he's an incredible human being, junior college from South Plains. He's one of those guys. I don't want to call it a project because he's not like super raw.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys, you know, and this is no disrespect to JUCO guys at all. Like, but I've coached a lot of JUCO guys and I love them. But sometimes it does take time.
Right.
So, and he, for where he's at day one to where he is now, man, he's taken incredible leaps. And you know, he's a 6'8", 6'9", forward, super skilled, good mobility, solid athlete. But he's definitely, all these guys we brought in, I just really believe are DU type guys. But I'm really excited to see like what will, we just call him D, what will D look like in January? That's what I'm really excited to see. Then with Gabe Oldham, another junior college kid from Pima in Arizona. And he reminds me of myself. Maybe that's why I like him so much. You know, he's an undersized forward.
Yeah.
But, man, he just works so stinking hard. And you look at him, he looks like a D1 tight end. Like, he's an absolute brute. His motor is so high, just his nonstop work ethic, and just one of those incredible human beings as well, of really good communicator, just like one of those just great voices you want on your team. So he's been a privilege to coach as well, because he's like a 6'6", 6'7", 5". But he's just going to try to outwork everybody, and that's what I love about him. Julius Rollins, Juju, that's what we call him, coming from Western Illinois, came with Kyle Haken in our assistant. Like I've said, you know, to anybody, he's like a junkyard dog mentality type guy. He could do a little bit of everything. I mean, he's a 6'7", just Swiss Army knife, very, very good athlete, high above the rim player. But I love coaching him, because when it comes to competition, like, he's a guy you want to go to war with. Because, like, when that ball's up in there, he's ready to fight. And, yeah, we're not going to be playing dirty or nothing, but, like, he's going to scrap, claw, do whatever it takes. So, and I think he's a really good guy that's going to challenge people on the defensive end, too. And I like long, length guys that can move, because I want to try to guard people as much as possible.
Right.
We're not going to stop everybody, but I want to guard the best way we can. Who else we got here?
One interesting guy who I have two guys who I really want to ask you about. We're going to do it after the break, because we have so much more to discuss on this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show. Whole bunch of fun. Tim Bergstrasser, the new head men's basketball coach at the University of Denver. We're going to step aside for a quick timeout, bring it on back, finish breaking down this roster. We'll talk a little bit about the coaching staff and the 2025-26 schedule that's coming up for the Pioneers. It's all after the break on 104.3 The Fan HD3.
Planning your financial future could be overwhelming and confusing. So let the experts at JFG Family Office help guide you to your financial goals. The team at JFG Family Office believes in increasing transparency, lowering fees, and striving to achieve better outcomes, so you have peace of mind when it comes to all of your investing needs. Contact JFG Family Office at jfgfamilyoffice.com to get started on planning for your future.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Continuing along on 104.3 The Fan HD3, it's the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show presented by your Front Range Toyota stores. My name is Tyler Mond, joined by the new head men's basketball coach at the University of Denver, Tim Bergstrasser. And Coach, we're talking about this roster. There are a couple of guys on the squad who I'm anxious to get your report, your preseason thoughts on. One of them is Jeremiah Burke, who is an in-conference and intra-conference transfer. He comes from North Dakota State. We've seen a decent amount of those guys, North Dakota State products especially, move around in the the conference. And, you know, some of that is due to the depth at NDSU and the success that they've had. Guys are able to find opportunities elsewhere. Jeremiah Burke, I remember being really impressed by the times that we've seen him. What do you like about where he is right now?
Good old JB. So I recruited him very hard out of JUCO. I tried to get him to MSUM, and that's why, you know, I kind of poked him. I was like, if you just came with me, you know, you would have won a championship maybe. But it all circles back, and he's super skilled. You know, he could be a smaller five if we play him there. But like as a four man, I mean, he could do a little bit of everything. He's got a very good scorer's mentality, and down low on the block, he's got a really good 3-point shot. He could put it on the floor a little bit. Driving to post up, you know, we're working on like the facilitating aspect. I think if we could get him to do that, I mean, he could be an elite level player, man. And I mean, he's a very, very high level athlete too. So he's just a very low key human being as well. So I mean, I've been coaching him really hard because I just, not saying I'm not for anybody else, but like he's one of those guys that, again, I've had that prior relationship too.
Yeah.
And this is last year, and you know, we've kind of just we've known each other that whole time. And I want him to have that great experience. So I'm very eager to see another thing with him, is just where is he going to be, especially come league play, because I think he has a chance to be a very, very good player for us.
He's one of your older guys. Zane Nelson, a grad student who was a 1,000-point career scorer just in a couple of years at the D2 level. And Caden Holbrook, who comes over with one of your new assistants. Tell me about those guys a little bit.
Yeah, Zane. So another guy that I previously recruited when I was at MSUM when he was coming out of Arkansas Monticello, didn't work out, and then he went to Missouri Western. And then when I got the job, I mean, I think he was one of those guys. Like when I called him, he's like, "Man, I've been waiting for your call this entire time. What took you so stinking long?" And then, you know, we made it work. But he's a bigger, like 2/1 scorers mentality again. When he's really locked in, he's a very good facilitator too. So it'd be nice to kind of have him as that combo guard. But it's always nice having guys that in their mentality, it's like, all right, I just want to go get a bucket.
Yeah.
I just got to have that mentality, but like we'll structure it to how we do things.
Right.
So it's another one of those guys, it's great to have that prior relationship because I could really coach him hard off that too. And then with Caden, that helped with Abe, our assistant. He coached him last year at Mac. And he's coming in as a walk-on, but he has an absolute torch from three. I always make the jokes, like, I want everybody in our team to have the form of Caden Holbrook, but that's not always reality when it comes to making a roster. But another outstanding human being, he's a great, great student, and he just loves basketball, man. And he's accepted his role extremely well. And, you know, with us bringing in walk-ons, we always have the mentality, it's like, you're not just filling a roster spot.
Right.
Like, that's authentically how I've had walk-ons that turn into like full scholarship guys. Doesn't always work for everybody, but like I've told him, like I had not just bringing you to bring you here. I want you to potentially help us, you know, down the road. So I love having him on a roster. He's been great in practice, great energy guy. He does what we ask. So can't ask anything more on that one.
All right. Two more guys who are sort of the holdovers in different ways from each other. One of them is Josh Lee, who's been, you know, an energy leadership guy, a lockdown defensive guy over the last couple of years in Denver. The other one who I find fascinating is Trajan Thompson. Trajan was recruited by the previous staff. He was a McDonald's All-America nominee. I remember watching his highlights last year when he committed and being really blown away by him. It feels very rare in 2025 college athletics that somebody follows through on a commitment despite change in the program, but Trajan's here, which is really cool. For him and Josh Lee especially, what roles do they play? Jay Lee is sort of the guy who's been somewhat the stability, the carryover piece. He's been through the battles and knows what it's like to be here. And Trajan being a high upside kind of guy.
Yeah. So with Jay Lee, you know, in this transition, you know, it's a hard decision for him too. He's like, do I stay? Do I go? And I sat him down like after my press conference. We went downstairs and said, "Hey, man, like I want you here. I didn't want him to leave because I know it's nice to have guys that have been a part of this program. I didn't want to just, you know, have a bare roster completely. So, and like you said, he's had experience at this level. And
right.
That's always nice. And I know Jay Lee is a great guy. And he loves basketball. He works extremely hard. And I think he's done a great job since day one of just like having a voice. And I think he's not trying to overstep and he's trying to figure out how to navigate through this new team. But like I've told him so many times, like it's good that you're willing to just speak up because I think guys are going to listen to you. But like we said, like he's had the experience that helps. He has a scorer's mentality. He's a big, strong athlete. And I like that a lot. That's how I want all my teams to be. And I think he really can dig in on defense. So he's one of those guys that I think, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but some people may have like forgot about Jay Lee.
Yeah.
And I've made sure he understands, is like, I mean, we're not going to sleep on Jay Lee because we know you could definitely produce for our team. But him, amongst many other guys on his team, they're just trying to figure out still how we do things. So that's just a daily process for us. Then with Trajan, another similar conversation. You know, him and his family are like, you know, does a coach want him to stay or right. not? And, you know, we had to have those open conversations of where I saw that he could fit. I laid it out there very blunt like I usually do, and then it was up to them just to make their decision. But I didn't want to pressure him by any means. I was just trying to make sure they know, like, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to look out for him. We're going to transform in his game and his body. But he's like a 6'4", 6'5", athlete, very mobile, another credible human being, great in the classroom. It's a very common theme, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I love to have in this program because that's how we're going to operate. But he's another one of those guys that, do we redshirt him? Is he going to play? You know, we're kind of right there right now. But we kind of had to kickstart him a little bit, like, all right, don't think yourself as a freshman. Like, come in and play aggressive. Like, go make mistakes. And whether you're on the first team, the second team, just go all out and let me coach you through some mistakes. But he's just such a low-key guy and just such a good dude. And he wants to be good. He wants to help this team out. So I'm just very fortunate, man, top to bottom with this group. It's a group of selfless guys. And, you know, there's going to be some days guys want more. They want different roles. That's right. Natural for any roster. But all these conversations we had, like, they're buying into it. And things can change. But that's been promising for me to see.
All right, Coach, let's talk. We got a few minutes left. Let's talk about your staff. A lot of familiarity with the guys who are on your staff. Give us the bullet point bios of your assistants and the group that this Pioneers family is going to get to know.
Yeah, associate head coach Spencer Bland. I coached him. This would be year 7 now. He was a GA when I was assistant. Then he was my assistant. Then he was able to come here. So I was really, to be honest, like I'll say it on here, like I didn't want to take this job if you wouldn't have came with me.
Yeah.
And I made that very clear to him. So, man. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. He pulled his family away to come follow me in this journey. But that's my guy. I mean, he has my back. He's one of my best friends. He's our offensive coordinator. He's going to handle all that stuff. It's just easy for me, like, hey, get this dude the stinking ball. But it helps me coach knowing that he just handles all that. And I can focus on stuff that I want to focus on with the rotations, the defense. I'm a defensive minded guy, but he's a very, very good. All of our staff, just very good at connecting with players, the relationship building. It's hard to do it nowadays with the transfer portal, but that's very important to us, building those relationships in a different way. Kyle Haken, coming from Western Illinois. I've just known him through the grassroots and, you know, getting out there, and you always run into people. This world's a lot smaller than you think. Really good junior college ties. He's coached at the D3 level, won a national championship at the D3 level, coached at the D1 level. He's been in the Summit before, so he has that background, and he's been another one of those guys. Like, I've been trying to pick his brain with my transition to this level, so he's been very helpful on that aspect. Abe Waldislassy, if I say it right.
He's, I think you got it.
Yeah,
that one I do think you got.
I don't know how to spell it, but I know how to say it. But he, like, I've known him for a very long time, a coach, and obviously being up in Minnesota, him having head coaching experience has been amazing. But he is an elite connector of people. Absolutely outstanding in that realm. And he knows everybody, and that obviously helps in this business. And he's really helped me in this process more of kind of being like a – he's obviously an assistant coach and coach in between the lines, but more of like a GM role.
Yeah.
And obviously that's very important at this level. So he's done a great job connecting us with alumni, connecting us with the department, anybody on campus, the community. So, like, he's a rock star at that stuff, man. Our guys absolutely love him. And then you got Scott Gauthier. He's our director of ops. He came. So I coached against him when I was at Quincy, Illinois. He was at UMSL in St. Louis. And then he's been at Lindenwood and then IU Indy. So he's had a great background as well, just multiple experiences. Another one of those guys, like, just pick his brain of just, like, how things operate at this level and know what to expect. So that's one thing I'm just curious on that too. And then Nihilo, he is a video coordinator, player development for us. He was at Nebraska. I've had great ties with Nebraska guys, and they said nothing but great things about him. So
Nebraska guys.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Good people. What can I say, Coach?
Taking the guys out on campus for, like, recruiting visits and anything, like, I knew right away, even trying to get these transfers to come in, is like, we did our staff the right way.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm going to see them more than my actual family.
Right.
So, I mean, that's pretty important to me. I want to be around guys I like and I trust. I mean, loyalty is the biggest thing I could ever ask for, especially the coaching staff. So we have a continuous growth mindset. We love basketball. We're to coach our guys hard and care about them as human beings. And I'll be very eager to see what we do here brick by brick.
All right, Coach. We could very easily have done an hour-long episode for this week's season preview of the Denver Pioneers 2025-26 men's hoop season. But final point that I'm going to ask you, you get some really great and interesting non-conference matchups. You got some Power 4 opponents. You'll go to Wyoming. You got a home-and-home set with Wyoming for the next several years. But when you look at, you know, you're going to take a trip to UW in Seattle. You're going to go to Arizona. You're going to get to test these guys in a lot of really cool and interesting basketball spots. What excites you most about the start to this season in 2025? You know, you got a coaching staff that's very familiar with the Summit League. You got a really interesting mix of talent. But what is the thing that you're most excited about when you get it going early November?
Like I said before, I just have a massive curiosity right now. I think we're playing hard. I think we're going to compete. And again, that's just what I said, how we're going to play, you know, since I got the job. But it's going to be a challenge. I mean, our non-conference schedule, we're not going to sugarcoat it, but yeah. As long as we're playing basketball the right way, we're fighting for every stinking possession. We're not playing timid, and we're not playing fearful. That's important to me. Like, we're going to go there, we're going to compete our tails off, and we'll see what the scoreboard shows. And we're going to go to Arizona, we're going to go to Washington and all that. Like, those are such big places. And it's easy for me to say, hey, don't treat this game any bigger than anything else. But, I mean, I really do mean that when I say it, because – it's just going to be another basketball game, and it's up to us to respect the game, enjoy the moment by all means. But it's like, we're going to use every single game. We're gonna fight to win whether we do or not, and then we're going to analyze and grow whether we win or not as well. So I'm just very eager and curious. I don't know what to expect, but I want to see how these guys are going to compete and play together, and how are we going to handle adversity and, you know, tough environments. But I love being on the road. I'm used to. Where I'm coming from, then all November I was gone. So I'm used to road games, and I enjoy it. No, my wife doesn't, because she has to, you know, watch her two beautiful kids, and I'm the one sleeping in hotels by myself. But it's I'm very excited. It's going to be a great schedule to prepare us for the Summit, which is obviously one of the better leagues out there, man. And high level basketball, very good coaches and players. So I'm not trying to get too excited, because we got a long ways to go. I am a one day at a time type guy. It'll be a one game at a time type deal too. But it's up to me just to make sure we're as prepared as possible, competing and playing basketball the right way, playing together. We'll see what happens. I'm just curious on it.
Pioneers will kick off this 2025-26 season November 3rd at Seattle U. 3 days later at the University of Washington. First home game for DU is November 15th against UTSA. That's the only home game in November, so get your tickets at DenverPioneers.com. That's the new head men's basketball coach of the Denver Pioneers, Tim Bergstrasser. Coach, so good to get a chance to preview this thing, and we'll be seeing a lot of each other in the next few months. Good luck.
Look forward to it. I'm ready for it.
Pioneers kick off the season November 3rd, and we're wrapping up this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show, presented by your Front Range Toyota stores. We'll talk to you next time on 104.3 The Fan HD3.